miracles, and the miracles are what we're going to be working our way through. So this is our Lenten journey. Of course, Lent doesn't really start until Wednesday with Ash Wednesday, but for us, we will be working our way through a season of miracles, of preparation for Easter, which is the most amazing miracle of them all. And so today we continue our work with John, the Gospel of John. That is the fourth book in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And John's a story, a kind of collection of understandings and sayings that Jesus offered into the world in his life and ministry. So today we have really a weird story, okay? And weird in that it's the only place that this story is recorded inside of our Bible. And it is, you know, it is kind of like pulling off by the side of the road sort of story. Jesus is traveling through. He has his entourage, his students, his followers with him. And they get outside of this town, and Jesus sends them on into town to find some breakfast, some Dunkin' Donuts. Today's theme is going to be Dunkin' Donuts. I don't know why. I don't get any money from Dunkin'. Please don't go there because I mentioned them multiple times. But he sends them off. It's like, go get some food. And he's just kind of, he's there by the well. And here comes, it's midday. It's not the beginning of the day. It's pretty far into the day. And here comes this woman to take care of her routine responsibilities. You know, we have refrigerators and you know, we can go to Lidl or to Food Lion or wherever and kind of like get food and sort of put that, you know, in many cultures, you know, you go to the market every day, you know, it's, you know, fresh farm to table, literally, all the time. And so here is this woman who got up that morning and is doing her normal chores, including getting the water from the well. Now, her day probably started just like the day before or the day before. We all have kind of like these routines, right? These things that we do when we get up in the morning that we, you know, just kind of take care of things, right? One thing that I do in the morning is I get up and we have this lovely dog who sleeps with us, really kind of sleeps on top of me. I have no problem staying warm during the middle of the night because of my dog, Kiva. And so Kiva and I get up, and so the first thing we do is we go outside. I have been dressing warm, you know, I've been kind of like putting on the hat and the coat and the gloves and that sort of thing, and off we go, and we try really hard not to die on the ice, right? Don't slip on the ice. And so that's what I've been doing for the last couple of weeks or so. But, you know, every day, same thing. Get up. You take care of this. You take care of that. Coffee kind of shows up in the sequence of things, but it has to follow the other things that are important. You know, we feed the dog and the cat before breakfast. You know, the troops get fed first, right? And we just kind of work our way through the sequence of things. And so for this lady, her sequence of things was she got up and, you know, interacted with the man that she is with, not her husband, the man that she's with, and she waits. She's not going to head down to the well, probably with everyone else, because of the shame, right? It's interesting, we don't know this for sure, there's nothing explicitly says this about her, except for the time of day that she shows up to get the water, which is when everyone else would have been back in town, because they know. And, you know, you want to kind of avoid the hard looks and the gossip. So here she shows up, this is her normal sequence. She's probably expecting no one to be there. And who is it that she runs into? Of all people. Right. 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 Of all the people she could run into. So her ordinary starts to unravel. And that passage that Debbie just read kind of points to how it just kind of came apart like a cheap sweater. The ordinary, the routine, even in the midst of the shame, gets set aside by this person who's sitting there going, well, could you give me a cup of water? Could you give me some water? Now, everything about this, by the way, is taboo. As a man and a woman interacting with each other, unless they were relatives, that was frowned upon. Oh, don't want to give the wrong impression, don't want to kind of cross boundaries or expose danger. So there's that taboo. Plus, he's Jewish. I don't know how she can determine that, but she's clearly reading them as a Jew. And she's saying, you know, your people and my people, even though we have some same ancestry, even though we have some similar core beliefs, even though we kind of root our religious systems in the same direction, we do not get along, and we are not really supposed to be interacting with it. How can you, a Jew, ask me, a woman, a Samaritan, how can, no, this is wrong. So all of the way things work start to fall apart. Now, don't you like the way things work? I kind of like predictability in my life. That's why I always kind of do some of the same things in the same way. My wife says if I don't put my keys in a particular place, it's going to be at least 45 minutes looking for those doggone keys. She knows, right? If I don't put my glasses in a particular place, oh, it's going to be a mess. So those kind of ways in which we have established things or we've come to understand things as this is how it works, that's helpful. That's predictability. When you raise up children, one of the things that children really do need is a predictable, consistent environment. Chaos is not good for child rearing. And you see that play its way out in so much of the rest of their life. So here is a person who's just living her life and doing her thing and surviving. And really kind of surviving without having a consistent male figure in her life. How many husbands has she had? And she's had to kind of connect with men because this is a dangerous world. And if you do not have that male connection to you, then as a woman, you're in a lot of danger. And you're in economic bad straits. So here she is, doing her life, walking her way up to the well, and there's Jesus who starts to take all of that apart. The reality that she operates in gets opened up. Today is Transfiguration Sunday. This is a day that we remember a different story. We're not going to talk about that story that much, but let me just remind you. There was a moment where Jesus goes to the top of a mountain with some of his disciples, and he completely appears in a different way. It's like his clothes, regular clothes, you know, street clothes, suddenly are changed. There's this light, this brightness that comes off of him, and they are able to see Jesus in a new way. It's a beautiful moment. It's how he is seen is understood beyond what is on the outside. This is what happens with this lady. How she is understood, I mean, she's going to argue theology with him. How can you say that we're going to worship this way and you worship that way, and how does that even make sense? And he says, there's something else. There's something more. And then he drops like this really kind of small pedestrian miracle on her, because he knows things about her. He doesn't have the capacity to check out her Facebook page. You know? Isn't that what we do a lot? It's like, oh, well, there's this person, I'm going to Google them and figure out what they're like, or, you know, their affiliations here and there. No, he has none of that. He just knows, just like he knows us. And he says to her, yeah, go get your husband. And she tells the truth, of course. But that small miracle actually opens up to help her move beyond what has already been this disorientation of having her world turned upside down, her theology turned upside down, her understanding of what is taboo and what is not. Standing in the same ground talking to this man who is saying, hey, you know what? If you ask me, I'll give you living water that will keep you alive forever. And then suddenly, he knows things about her, and that's why she goes back and tells people. She leaves that moment. We didn't hear this, but she leaves that moment, and she goes back and says, you will not believe what this guy knows about me, and I think he is the one that we have been hoping for. Apparently, the choir is the people in the village. Thank you, villagers. Nice to see you. We need to talk, and will for these next few weeks, talk about things that are beyond what is reasonable and ordinary, beyond what is understandable, beyond what makes sense, the way that we have constructed our reality, the way that we have had our reality constructed for us, even theologically. Gets pushed aside. And you know what? I think it's important and helpful. I believe in miracles. I know that miracles don't exactly respond the way that I want them all the time. You're like, boy, I could use a parking place right now. You know? And there's some people like, you know, that's great. I walked up to that Coke machine, hit it right there, boom, there's a can right there. Actually, there are miracles that people in this room are probably praying for right now, and you're still waiting. And I have had those moments in my life that I have prayed for life for people. And I think God knew, and, you know, my prayers anymore are like, God, you know what we want. You know what I am asking for. I am hoping for. But you bring the healing and wholeness that you know is right in this moment, because I'm not God. And there are moments that a miracle would be great to see, and we hope for, and we just don't see them. That doesn't negate God. That doesn't negate the reality. That is the way that we are finding ourselves living our life. This isn't a wish machine. But in God's timing and in God's purpose, in God's way, those miracles that need to happen, turn the world upside down. We've seen these things happen. I know personally, you know, I've shared with you about my heart issues. It is still befuddling to more than one cardiologist that I'm alive, much less kind of standing here shooting my mouth off with you. Befuddling. I was I had so many defibrillations, you know, where they try to restart your heart. Every time you have a defibrillation like that, it's intended to try to restart your heart, but the probabilities of that heart restarting go down, okay? So, like, by the sixth time of defibrillation, I should not be here. And here I am. That was a small miracle. It's a miracle. And I figure God's, like, got stuff for me to do. There is miracles that are going to show up in our life that says, what you think of as possible and impossible is too limited. What you think of as what the way the world works and how life is going to work, there's so much more. There's so much more. And where we might find ourselves looking at things like, oh, well, the reality is, oh, preacher, you got to look, the reality is this. I don't know what God has in mind fully. I wish I did. God and I talk fairly regularly. He's not telling me everything. But I do know that there's the promise and the pledge of love. And we have case history indicating that when God is at work inside of our hearts and our lives, that stuff actually does happen. Things can change. Miracles can occur. Look at where we came from. Look at where we came from in this church 150 years ago and what we have gone through. Whew, what we have gone through. Look at what we have gone through as a people. Do you remember COVID? We thought, oh, we'll never get past that thing. And here we are. So my invitation for you these next few weeks is to be like that woman at that well and just be open and experience what it is that God, the presence of Christ, is looking to invite you into beyond what seems to be reasonable. Can we do that? Well, I invite you to it and invite you to consider what just might be a miracle right in front of you this week. And I give you that invitation in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.